Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Check engine light comes on. A lot of people freak out. No reason to. Get carshield.com. Code HERD. 10% off. Deductible may apply. It is pretty amazing. My next guest is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's been in the NFL for 10 years. He's been a Pro Bowler for half of them. Never missed a game. He's like Tony Gonzalez on the defensive side. He just doesn't miss games. And he's a real team leader. There's a lot of good defensive players in the NFL. There's not dozens of great defensive leaders. And Cameron Jordan, the Saints defensive end, is absolutely one of those. They have a bye week this week, which is actually for players. It's a little bit of a break. You don't get many of those. And Cam Jordan is now joining us. So, you know, it is interesting that there are great defensive players. But when we think NFL, Cam, quarterback's a leader. Coach is the leader. But when I think of you, I'm like, no, you're a vocal guy. You're a verbal guy. Is a defensive leader, do you ever feel like you're the Drew Brees on the defensive side and that your words matter, they're impactful, and you're a mentor to a lot of players?
I look at myself definitely not in the category of Drew Brees in any sort of fashion, just because, you know, that focal point of quarterback, he handles all checks, he handles energy, he handles everything. Everything that Drew does sets him apart. I think that, if anything, I just make sure to bring the energy. And, you know, I've got guys like Demario Davis, who, of course, is an all-pro right behind me and play the way he does. And, you know, I let him be the quarterback of the situation. I just want to bring juice every play and every time I touch the field. It's that love of the game that, you know, I hope to never lose love for.
Well, it's interesting because you say you want to bring juice. For the first time in your life, you're playing with no fans. How do you create the juice when you're playing in an empty stadium?
I'll say now we got the manufactured sound, right? We've got the 70 decibels of low music. At that point, it's us. We really take it back to if we had to play at midnight in the middle of the park, you know, in the back alley, we play football against anybody. And it's that same mentality that we take everywhere we go with this now. It's sort of chilling to be in the Superdome and not have the fans behind you, not have, you know, 70,000 people cheering, you know, who that gonna beat them Saints. And at the same time, you know, we still have a job and a mission to complete. So we got to take that in our mindset and create our own energy and you know, we can't have juice. We got to have more.
You know, it's interesting. So I've never been a fan of NFL preseason. I don't want my star players just go to Bahamas, go on vacation, show up Labor Day. But I was watching a game the other day with my wife and my wife's like, man, there's a lot of guys hurt this year. And for the first time in my life, I was like, maybe they need preseason. Maybe they need to bang into each other for about, you know, four quarters. So now that you've played your career with 9 preseasons and 1 without, Cam, do you think there is value in the preseason? Should we shorten it? How do you view it now?
I don't know. I haven't played much preseason, honestly, ever. I think I've played is 2, maybe 3 preseason games. I normally play like 1.5. But I definitely think, you know, the COVID impact of it all has changed how guys were able to work out and get after it. You talk about, you know, COVID really hit America somewhere in March and guys start training, you know, March, April, May, June. You hit training camp and it was like, you know, you were taken out of most people's comparative norm situation on how to work out, how to stay, how to keep in shape, how to go about being football ready. You know, I think it's sort of shown just in terms of how guys may not have had the same access to treatments, rehabs, and abilities to be on their normal schedule, how to prepare for a season.
You know, you are in a division now with some veterans, Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Brees and Matt Ryan. You faced a lot of veteran quarterbacks. Generally, for a guy like you, you're licking your chops if you get a rookie quarterback. But Justin Herbert, Cam, there's something to it, man. He's got a whip. Kind of your impressions on what you saw from a kid who, in his third or fourth NFL start on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, he's talented. I like to say, you know, we hit him, what, 17, 18, 19 times?
Yeah.
And he was still out there rolling, taking hits, and slinging the rock. He's looking special. I think he could develop into a special quarterback in years to come. I sort of, you know, talked to him after the game. I was like, you might be the slowest, you know, quarterback out of Oregon. And that's not saying much because you're still running like a 4.65, you know?
Yeah, no, he is. I'm watching some of the tape here. He's got an arm on him, that's for sure. When you look, a lot of people have said it's kind of Drew Brees. Many people believe it's Drew Brees' last year. I mean, he's going to have broadcasting options, as you are, if you want him. He's going to be able to do that. Does it feel like to you with Drew, does it feel like kind of a special year this year, knowing one of the great quarterbacks, top 10 quarterbacks of all time, this may be it. You may be playing in his last year.
Top one. Yeah, I'd say he's, you know, one of the top one quarterbacks if I had to go in my mindset of great quarterbacks would be Drew Brees. That being said, I don't know if it's last year. You know, when you talk about his completion rate, you talk about, you know, everything that he does. His what, quarterback passing rate is probably over 100. Completion rate right now is probably sitting at, what, 70% plus. Everything that Drew does is elite. So when he decides to hang him up, he's going to go right into Canton. But in terms of, is this year special because it may be his last? I have no idea. I've never had to worry about playing without Drew Brees, so I won't start worrying about it now.
Yeah. So you average, you know, you get a 10 to 15 sacks every year. And, you know, and you're one of the guys in the NFL that's a reliable sacker, a one a game. And when you get into this, we are now in a more offensive league. The teams pass more than ever. I would imagine.
Unless they play the Saints.
Well, I would think, this can create more sacks for you. The current NFL is more spread out. It's faster. It's no huddle. It's more passing. As a defensive player, do you think it now plays into your skill set and into your strengths?
You know, as far as what we catch, you know, what we see now, we had the Tom Brady, we had Aaron Rodgers. It's, you know, the fast, quick release off the first read, if not check down, you know, type offenses. This is something that we're dealing with, that guys aren't hitting those, you know, 8-9 yard drops of old. Now it's like a 5 yard drop where they start in the shotgun, and then it's a two step and release. It's hard pressed to sort of take away a quarterback's first read now. And you got receivers that are overly athletic and can go win these 50-50 balls. At this point, it's sort of becoming a hassle when you know that you could get to the quarterback, but they have such a fast release, it sometimes does not affect them at all.
So you play,
and now you can hide them behind play actions and boots, etc.
Yeah, so you play behind you play Teddy Bridgewater in about 10 days, 2 weeks, and then you play Brady after that. Have you ever faced Brady before? Week one.
Teddy Bridge?
That's right.
Yeah, I'll say.
That you faced the old man week one. So
we've already started our one. Off 1-0.
So let me ask you. You face Tom Brady. Give me your thoughts on, did you sense age? How was Brady different than facing a Justin Herbert, facing a Teddy Bridgewater, facing guys you faced? What was it like? Because most believe Brady's the best of all time. Does he manipulate the line of scrimmage? I mean, what is it like to face Brady as the leading sacker on a football team?
I'll say our lead sacker is Trey Henderson. He's got like 4.5 sacks in 5 games right now. He's been rolling, coming off this edge hot. I try to tell him, like, take advantage of all opportunities. If I'm catching a double and you catch a single, win your singles, and he's winning them at a high rate. Shout out to Trey Henderson. But when you talk about Tom Brady and what he's able to do, I mean, there's absolutely no noise. They came into the Superdome with zero fans. Like, we, you know, on a normal season, we expect 70,000. That changes everything up right there. But his ability to audible at the line, his ability to control his offense, and also have the weapons of, you know, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and, you know, at the time, Leonard Fournette, and I mean, they're sort of stacked back there. Also with McCoy, all the weapons that he had, and then Gronkowski, of course, you know, conch shell Gronk comes out of it, and he has all these available options, and I think he used them well. So the second time around, without saying too much, I'm sort of excited to play him again.
Yeah. By the way, you've got a new podcast with Mark Ingram called Trust Levels. Trust Levels, that is the new podcast with Mark Ingram, your former teammate, by the way.
Yeah, that's my brother. For former teammate, like, you know, we got drafted together in 2011. I was sleeping on his couch the first, like, couple weeks in New Orleans till I found a place of my own, because he was already training there in the offseason. Him coming from Bama, you know, he had trained in New Orleans offseason, then get drafted by New Orleans. I come to New Orleans, and it's a lockout year, so I'm like, you know, we really don't have too much contact with the Saints. It was an instant bond there. You know, that's been my dog and turned into a real-life brother for me. So it just made most sense. It was like, you know, we're going to get on this podcast. I was like, who better to do it than with my guy who not only brings the juice on offense, who is a amazing, you know, running back, Pro Bowl caliber running back, and also backs up everything that he says and what he does on the field. And he's an even better dad and person off the field. So it was just a no-brainer. We started at the trust levels, big trust levels, and you know, we've released 4 episodes, and we're gonna keep on pushing. I mean, there's a lot of talent and a lot of fun being had, from our first guest from AK to, you know, this week's guest being Bobby Wagner. It's like we're just chilling with all our friends. What we're doing here, Colin?
Well, you know, we were talking during the break that you're lucky. I mean, you're obviously talented, but the Saints are well run. And I've had guys like TJ Hushmanzada come on my show, and his career, it was Cincinnati. They were sharing cups, and not the kind you drink out of. So have you ever thought to yourself, do you like when you were going through COVID? Do you ever sometimes kind of knock on wood and think to yourself, man, I landed in a good spot?
100%. You know, if anybody ever talks to my agent, he'll tell you, like, all I prayed for was somewhere warm. And I ended up in New Orleans, and it's been, you know, amazing. I got to learn from the likes of, you know, Jonathan Vilma, Roman Harper, Will Smith, rest in peace. When he first came, you know, when I first came into the league, I had, you know, Sean Rogers, Abreu Franklin. I had all these vets, Cedric Ellis, that sort of took me under their wing. It was like, this is how you become a pro. And I don't know about any other franchise, because I've never had to worry about it.
Right.
I know when I talk to other guys around the league, it's like, yo, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. I'm like, yo, that's not what the Saints do. This is how we do things. And they're like, man, this sounds like, you know, they show love. It's, you got probably 2 handfuls worth of teams that, you know, are run really well from top to bottom. And I'm happy to be a part of that. So I don't have to look outside and be like, oh, I wonder what they're doing over there. I'm just happy being on the green grass over here.
Now, the Benson family's always treated their players and coaches incredibly well. It's Cameron Jordan. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Good luck to you in your bye week. Enjoy it. I know not everything in America is open, but there's a few restaurants open. Have some fun, and thanks for coming on the show.
I appreciate it. I wish I could hit a restaurant. I'm going to stay safe and try and complete this season. Hopefully COVID-free.
Yeah, you don't want to let teammates down. There's that peer pressure now if you're a player. You don't want to let anybody down, right? Like, I have buddies whose kids are college students. I talked to one yesterday, and he's like, there's a code of honor here with this COVID. Like, these athletes, you're playing college baseball.
It's a lot on the line.
Yeah, like, you don't want to blow the team up. So that's the thing about athletics is you're seeing this in the NFL. There's a real code of honor. Like, you don't want to be the guy. You go out, sneak out, see your girlfriend. You don't know, her brother could have it. She gets it. All of a sudden, you bring it into the team, and boom. The NFL's done. I'm blown away by it. Like New England, Cam got it, and then Stephon Gilmore got it, and then nobody else got it. Like, and I watched Buffalo and Tennessee play the other night. Tennessee had 2 assistants out and like 7 players and played their best football game of the year. Like, it is, I think these leagues are NFL's. It's and the NFL's not playing in a bubble. There's a lot of young guys, and you're asking them to not go out.
It's not just that. You've got coaches. You've got staff.
It's not.
Personnel. It's a lot.
Listen, we've moved a couple of games. So a Tuesday football, I'm in.
You're managing it.
Yeah, I'm in. All right. Well, that's good. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Well, Conor McGregor made a big announcement yesterday.
He did what?
He said before he was planning to retire. Okay. No one believed that, obviously, but he was retiring.
He said that about a month ago.
Yes. Well, he has now decided to accept a bout with Dustin Poirier. The fight will take place on January 23rd, and McGregor has also said that he would like it to be at AT&T Stadium.
In Dallas. I don't know much about Dustin Poirier. What can you do? We have
his last fight was June 27th. He beat Dan Hooker by unanimous decision. He has a 26-6-0 record in the UFC. McGregor is UFC record is 22-4-0. So a pretty balanced fight as far as their records go. McGregor hasn't fought since his 42nd TKO victory over Cowboy Cerrone on January 18th.
Oh, baloney Cerrone. I called that fight. I called it. I said that thing was not going to last.
Well, I mean, I'm looking forward to this. I didn't believe that McGregor was retiring. I really don't know. What's the point of saying you're retiring if you're not really retiring?
Well, but boxing, you could literally, once you become an icon or a star, you fight every 12, 15 months.
Yeah, but you don't need to say you're retiring.
Well, like, I know,
just,
that's part
don't.
Of it.
Like, I'm not fighting right now.
I think he likes to be in the news because he's got that Irish whiskey. Doesn't he have some, like, whiskey brand that's really, really popular?
Yeah, I think it's like proper whiskey or something.
And then people look up Conor McGregor. Here's what they do. They go and Google Conor McGregor, and it goes to the whiskey site. That's what happens. So he about every 3 months, he says something, and we go, I want to look up Conor McGregor, and it takes you right to his Irish whiskey site. And, like, if one out of 20 people go, oh, I'm gonna have some of his whiskey.
Yeah.
He's a businessman.
He is a businessman. But I'm looking forward to that. And obviously, if they have it at AT&T Stadium, they'll be able to have fans there. So they can work around that. Everyone was expecting a clash between the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals this year.
Yeah.
The Clippers were upset by the Nuggets instead. And now we have some very big news. Woj has just reported that Ty Lue is finalizing a 5-year deal to become the next coach of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Ah, there we go. We thought that was going to work.
Chauncey Billups will be his lead assistant.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
I mean, Ty Lue was already in the building. It's a great job.
Former player.
Despite how the season ended. And Ty Lue is a great coach. He deserved another opportunity, and this is a perfect situation for him.
He's a confrontational coach, so he won't let you... If you're going to do load management, he's going to ask why you're sitting the night out. Like, Ty plays hard, and he coaches hard, and he demands stuff.
I'm happy for Ty Lue. I think this is a good situation. I didn't think that the Rocket situation was the right
move for this him. Is a way better job.
I do think it's going to be interesting with the load management moving forward, because I'm not an advocate of load management. It's not fun. It's not ideal. It's bad for fans. But if a player, say like Kawhi,
right,
has come to your organization with the expectations of, these is the amount of games that I'm going to play, and it did work in Toronto,
I think you have to...
I don't know how forgiving people are going to be with it moving forward.
Yeah, I think you have to create chemistry before you do it. And
yeah.
I think the Clippers' problem was they did the load management and they really didn't create chemistry. So if you can create it, then you're fine. Spurs had it and they took lots of days off.
It's also kind of... And I don't know what Kawhi is like, you know, in meetings and things like that, but we all know he's not a very verbal guy.
Yeah.
So if you're not a very verbal guy, you are taking a significant amount of games off for load management, and that's kind of the tone, and you're the best player on the team,
yeah,
how does that trickle down? You know what I mean? Like, listening to Frank Vogel earlier talking about LeBron and how active and involved he is in everything that goes on, and he's LeBron, who on that roster is going to go in a different direction? No one.
I cannot believe. I have a great NBA. Two sources have told me an amazing NBA story. We'll go to a break. And after we go to a break, I'll ask you if I should go on the air with it. It's big.
Okay.
It's big.
All right.
With like stars involved. Like a big rumor. I've had it confirmed now with two people.
Yeah, we'll talk it over before we go
okay,
to the
yeah.
air. Finally, the NFL's announcer will not be a Pro Bowl game this season. Kind of could have expected that, but it is official now. This will be the first time since the 1949 season that the NFL hasn't held some form of postseason All-Star game. So there will still be a voting process next month to recognize the best players this season, and the rosters will be revealed in December. So you will still be able to technically make the Pro Bowl, but there will not actually be a Pro Bowl. The league said it will reimagine the event by organizing a variety of engaging virtual activities to take place of the game.
Boring.
Not sure what that is.
Yeah.
But this also, you know, we're not there yet, but there is obviously conversations being had because of the amount of games that had to be rescheduled. Are they going to have to add another week at the end of the season? This could provide that with them without them having to move the Super Bowl. But also, you can't have the Pro Bowl right now.
Right.
So it's the right move anyway. Las Vegas was scheduled to host the game, so they will host the Pro Bowl in the 2021 season.
Okay, I cannot believe I buried the lead.
I'm so nervous.
I
need to hear this first.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you guys, and I'll see if I should simmer on it or not say it. I could maybe do Twitter on it.
Okay.
It involves two huge...
I will listen to it, and then I will be the judge.
Okay, so I got one yesterday afternoon and one a week ago, and I cannot believe until you mentioned Ty Lue that I thought of this story. It's incredible. You won't believe the story.
Well, now you're building it up. If we don't say it, it's going to be rough. Mm. I'll let you guys know if it's fair.
Okay, let's do that. Let's take a break, blah, blah, blah. Soup and sweater, best for last next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Sunday on Fox, it's a showdown for the ages as Aaron Rodgers leads the undefeated Packers against Tom Brady and the Bucks. It all kicks off Sunday on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area. Terry Bradshaw is putting $1 million up for grab in this week's free-to-play Super 6 contest. All you have to do is correctly predict the outcome of six NFL games. Make sure you get your picks in before kickoff Sunday for your chance to be a millionaire. And for top story scores and more, go to the Fox Sports app. So, Colin, Bears versus Panthers is one of the matchups this week. Give us your winner and final score.
I think Carolina's getting better every week. Chicago's got extra time to prep, which is a little edge. I think I'd take Carolina 28-26. I still worry about Chicago's offense. That's why Le'Veon Bell makes sense to me there.
Yeah.
They just don't have a lot of kick to it. They kind of have to win a certain way. So it's a very good weekend of NFL.
Amazing games this weekend.
Amazing. So we've had a great show today. Frank Vogel stopped by, Greg Cosell, Mark Sanchez, Cam Jordan. No Thursday night football, but great slate of games. Getting colder across the country. So that means it is soup and sweater weather. I mentioned that years ago, that for football, my wife, Ann, will make big bowls of soup and friends will come over and we're all, you know, you wear sweaters and I consider it, the better the game, the more soup, more bowls of soup I will have.
Okay.
So we're going to play a little game. Our soup and sweater weather, our games of the week, how many bowls of soup are they worth?
All right. How many soups are you giving Browns at Steelers?
That's four soups. First of all, the AFC North has the best winning percentage of any division. The Browns are 4-1 for the first time since Belichick was there. The Browns have the number one rushing offense. The Steelers have the number two rushing defense. Baker's a little banged up. And I think why this deserves four hearty bowls of soup is because Baker, as Greg Cosell said earlier, is still playing fast and making mistakes. And this defense will punish you for that.
How many soups are you giving Texans at Titans?
This is a one bowl of soup game, and I may not even finish it. Titans have won 7 of 8. Ryan Tannehill's 11-3 since he, you know, and leads the NFL in passer rating under Mike Vrabel. I think the Texans are a mess. Only thing I worry about the Titans is you just played on Tuesday.
Yes, short week.
And it was a big dominating win. Do you get a little sloppy? But there's too many good games for me to drink, have soup with that game.
How many soups are you giving Broncos at Patriots?
That's three bowls of soup. First of all, Cam's never beaten the Broncos. Remember, he lost to them in the Super Bowl. So like Tom Brady, he struggled with Denver. Now, it was supposed to be played in week 5. Cam's been off. He returns. And I frankly think Cam Newton is my comeback player of the year. I think he's fascinating. I think they're a Super Bowl potential team. I thought they were a rebuild team. This is not about the Broncos, who do have a great defensive coordinator. That's what interests me here. Vic Fangio's very clever. What does he throw at Cam? Because I don't think the Patriots have a deep threat. So it's going to be run offense versus run defense.
How many soups are you giving Ravens at Eagles?
The guys talked me into three soups. I initially saw it as a two-soup game. But the Eagles have 11 turnovers. That's the most in the league. And the Ravens have 18, a takeaway in 18 straight games. So you're going to get a lot of turnovers, a lot of dynamic plays. And this is one of my blowouts of the week. I think Baltimore,
yeah.
I have a feeling this is going to be like 40-20.
All right, Colin, how many soups are you giving America's Game of the Week, Packers at Bucks Sunday on Fox?
That's a five-soup game. Rodgers, Brady's, combined five MVPs and 22 Pro Bowl selections. There's so much of it I like. I think the Packers are the best team, and I think Aaron probably is the most comfortable. This is the least comfortable Brady has been with a new team and an old coach. Tampa's got the better defense. Green Bay's got the most more efficient offense, but it's at Tampa. Green Bay is healthier. It's basically you get two icons. This is like a Manning Brady feel to it. But you know what's funny? We have not seen them battle much. As long as they've been around, we've seen very few Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady matchups. Five soups for this.
How many soups are you giving Rams at 49ers?
Better game than you think. Almost went to 3.5 bowls. Better than you think. They're the two NFC Super Bowl representatives last 2 years, the two smartest young offensive coaches in the league. Garoppolo's had more time to heal. This is an urgent game for the 49ers. This is a must win for the 49ers. Rams right now are holding teams to 18 points. The story of the Rams this year has actually been their defense has been, their pass rush has been way better than people thought it would be. So this is a must win game for the 49ers. And I think, again, I think this is going to be a lot closer than people think.
How many soups are you giving Chiefs at Bills? That's Monday on Fox.
Four soups. Here's why I like it. Because both just lost. So you're not going to get one of the both teams just lost. Both teams have a little bit to prove. They're hearing a lot of yappers and critics. You also have maybe the two strongest arms in the NFL. Both teams have terrific deep threats. I like Kansas City to win here. But this is, you're going to see some arm talent in this. These are the two howitzers in the league, the two big guns, who both can be a little sloppy at times. And both coming off losses. So there's going to be a lot of intensity. You don't want to go on a two-game losing streak.
Yeah, whoever loses this, the yappers and critics are going to turn up. Finally, Cardinals at Cowboys. How many soups?
Better than you think. I think it's a three-soup game. First of all, Andy Dalton has won 70 games in his career and lost like 62. So he's a winning quarterback. He looked very good in the last drive. He really did. Andy Dalton is built sort of to run an offense like this, which is a lot of good receivers, really good back, and he's not relied on to carry the team. You don't have to run him around a lot. This is a distribution game. He's the point guard, and he's a very accurate thrower of the football. Not the best deep arm, not the biggest arm, not the most athletic, but there's a little bit of a Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins thing here. If you give him decent protection, Arizona doesn't have a great pass rush. He's a very good distributor of the football. So there you go.
What's your favorite soup?
Turkey chili.
I made turkey chili this week.
Oh, it's the best.
Well, so, that's not soup. That's chili.
Chili's in the soup family.
They're related, but they're not the same thing.
They're like soup cousins. Fine. What's your
chicken noodle
soup? Yeah, I love chicken noodle soup.
Yeah. No, I'm not really.
Corn chowder's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not real.
Clam chowder's really
good. I can't
do
chowders anymore because of my lactose stuff. It's the worst. Can't do yogurt, ice cream, or chowders. Terrible
life.
How
do you live? Do you have cheese?
Exactly. How do I live?
Can you have cheese?
I am overcoming 24 hours a day. It's incredible.
Honestly, if I was told I couldn't eat cheese, I'd be heartbroken.
It's not a cheese thing for me, but don't you like yogurt?
I do I don't eat a lot of yogurt, but I like yogurt.
I literally got a call one day. I had a stomach issue, and I called this nutrition lady, and she said, "Little, what's your diet? Write down what you ate yesterday." And she goes, "You had six yogurts."
Yeah, I mean, that's absurd, Colin. You can't eat six yogurts.
And I told her there's living cultures in there. It's very healthy.
You could have a yogurt.
I had like living cultures swimming all over my body. I had like little organisms in there. She's like, she goes, "Nobody can eat six yogurts." I had to do cold turkey. I haven't had a yogurt since. There you go. Not ready to give up, nor am I. Want to be strong and driven? Go to mdriveformen.com, mdriveformen.com. We will see you tomorrow on Friday with our Blazing Five picks.